Drive.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. It is Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and I'm just about to check with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, see if he has a time convenient this hour.
It's the off season, Bill. You can tell folks what you've been doing today and why you're so tired.
Well, this isn't tired so much from working. It's tired.
No, you can tell folks though.
I was over. My wife is babysitting our youngest grandchild.
Sarah is
coming up on 7 months old.
Is drowsy the right word instead of tired?
Yeah,
maybe?
Drowsy is definitely it. They have two dogs and a cat.
Darling animals too.
That's what the boys used to call Homeward Bound. Two dogs.
That's
and
That's right.
Cat.
Of course, yeah.
Sassy the cat.
Yeah.
Yes, they have two dogs and a cat, and I am terribly allergic to some cat dander.
Sure.
So I dropped by to see Sarah. I was gonna take my wife a little lunch. And she said, "Hey, Sarah really likes to try to stand up. She's got a little bounce chair that maybe you could help put together. Because I'd put together this sit-up stool."
Did you say how old Sarah is?
She's coming up on, she'll be 7 months.
Oh, wow.
So she's pulling up and stuff like that. So I was thinking about it. I said, well, maybe I'll do it later because I knew that the cat was going to start bothering me. About that time, her dad came in for lunch and said the same thing about the little bounce house. So I said, okay, I can stick around, but I don't have anything for the cat dander. My wife said, I've got some Benadryl. So I took the Benadryl. We put the little bounce thing together, and boy, I could take a nap right now. I mean, if you've ever taken Benadryl, it is great. I mean, I always have to have Benadryl around, liquid Benadryl around the house in case there is a wasp. Because I'm allergic to wasp stings. But Benadryl is great for allergies, but it will definitely put you to sleep.
Oh, for sure.
So that's where I'm dragging more than just a little today.
Right. Well, but at least you got the toy constructed, right? Or you made some progress on the bounce house for Sarah, which is nice, and yeah, we as expected,
you.
Yeah, you know, some grandfatherly duties
there,
right
see, it's,
there,
it's, and it's a little bounce chair.
Oh no, that's
thing.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah, and it lets her stay involved.
That way she feels her feet. I mean, she wants to pull up, but she can't.
No, that's good.
Stand on her own yet. So so she was she enjoys the crap out of it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. So I mean, it was worth it, but I'm just. I may be a little slow on the draw today. All right, so checked with Andy, and we will see. Hopefully we'll have him here in a few minutes because Auburn baseball has their next-to-the-last midweek game coming up tonight as the Tigers take on Samford up at the Hoover Met, which will be the side of the SEC tournament. You know, like Brian Matthews was saying yesterday, Butch Thompson likes to schedule a game at the Hoover Met, and if possible – near the end of the season, so the players will be sort of familiar with it, and when the SEC tournament gets started, they will have played there. And the SEC tournament's going to be really, really interesting this year because for the first time ever, well, I mean, obviously there are more teams, there's 16 teams in the league, but for the first time in quite a while, every team is going to be in the SEC tournament. Yeah. Remember the last few years, there were teams that didn't make the tournament, and it is a single elimination tournament. Now, that's something that should be very helpful for the pitching staff. All right, so just heard back from Andy. They're still on the way to Birmingham. He needs to get Butch's pregame. I guess he's saying bottom of the hour could be the earliest.
Okay.
Typing while you're on the way.
All right, we'll try Andy at 4:30.
We'll check Andy around the bottom of the hour.
We'll try Andy at 4:30, see what happens.
Yeah. We can talk that, but yes, all right. So the situation with Auburn, now this is a non-conference game, obviously, against Samford. And the Tigers travel to Knoxville this weekend to a Tennessee team that is two games ahead of them in the standings. Auburn is just, I think, three games out of fourth right now. So they are actually, I think Auburn's tied for eighth or ninth right now.
A couple of the polls are really bullish on Auburn after the weekend Auburn had against Mississippi State.
Auburn has the toughest schedule in the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, their strength, their RPI is number four. Their strength of schedule is number one. And they've won five of seven conference series. So, but what they really want to try to do is at least finish in the top eight. Because if you finish in the top eight, you get a first-round bye in the SEC tournament. So the teams that finish 9 through 16 will play on day one. Then day two, the winners from day one play, will play teams 5 through 8. And then teams 1 through 4 play. So if you finish in the top 4, you get a double bye. If you finish in the top 8, you get a single bye. But it is a single elimination tournament. And, you know, through the years, there have been quite a few teams that have made it all the way to the championship. And they just don't have any pitchers left because you've had to, you know, if you, with a double elimination, you lose, you go into the loser's bracket, and you need to win a couple of times to get back to be playing for the title. So there wouldn't be as many games necessary to be played, especially if you're a top four seed.
Do you like that all 16 teams go to the SEC tournament?
Okay. I do.
I'd be okay with cutting to 12 if you wanted to and figuring out a way to do a tournament
The SEC is looking and figuring they have at least 12 teams deserving of being in the NCAA field, and it would be a shame if one of those didn't even get to play in the SEC tournament, because I would think right now, there are probably 12 or 13 teams that could win the SEC tournament. The only one that you would say, nah, that's not going to happen, would be Missouri, who's 0-21 in conference play.
I would think maybe 12 with what you want to do. You want to do it like college football playoff style with buys.
Well, you can do a buy for the top four.
Yeah, top four buys and single-ation. I don't hate that. I also get the appeal.
It gives players still, they still have a little motivation.
Yeah.
I mean, even for Missouri, for the teams down there at the bottom, it's like, hey, we get hot, we can make it.
The tournament. The Sun Belt takes everyone in men's and women's basketball. They take everybody to Pensacola for at least a game, and that was one of the I think there's also some financial considerations as far as like they want every fan base.
Yeah, you got more tickets to sell.
Exact more tickets to sell, more hotel rooms to book, et cetera, if you take every fan base. But also, I think that the notion that every team or every player gets something, even at the bottom of the league, has something to look forward to, at least one game in that conference tournament. I'm okay with it, even if it's a little bit of an adjustment, right, to have all 16 teams the conference tournament playing a single elimination draw.
I haven't looked at the number, but I think there may be a game or two less than when you play double elimination. So
easier to follow.
You're right. You know when you lose, you're done.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go, is that the first or the second loss, and are they still playing?
So how many midweek games left?
Auburn's got two. They've got tonight, and then is next week finals?
Yes.
All right, because Auburn has no midweek game next week.
Yeah, no.
You were telling me, you were mentioning something about classes, and I thought the light bulb just went, yeah, you dummy. That's why there's no midweek game next week, because finals are going on.
So tomorrow is the last day of regularly scheduled classes of the spring semester at Auburn.
The last day of April is the last day of class.
Thursday and Friday are designated reading days
study days. I always use those as study days.
Right. And so
I may not have studied the subjects that I was taking, but
sure. Wednesday night, a lot of studying will be going with no class Thursday and everybody in town. But it's and then finals, I believe, start Monday, and they go through they go through next week, and then graduation is next weekend. So it's but tomorrow is the end of the spring semester. At Auburn University, and there's no midweek game next week.
No. There's UAB tonight, and then off next midweek for finals.
Samford tonight.
Yeah, did I say? My bad. Right. It is Samford. Yeah, Samford tonight off, and then Jack State comes on that final
you,
Tuesday.
You know what? You got your Casey Dunn schools confused.
Yeah,
right?
You're right. I got a former Casey Dunn school.
Sure. I mean,
one former Casey Dunn
school. You were now he's amazing too, because you remember him well as a player.
Oh, he was an outstanding catcher.
And now and then went from playing to coaching, mm-hmm. Coaching Samford.
Yeah,
successful tenure at Samford.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes the coach at UAB a couple years ago.
I mean, his dad, who our buddy Chuck coached against many, many times, Sammy, a Hall of Fame high school coach.
Hey, would you – he's got Auburn ties, so it's tough to be impartial, and maybe he hasn't proven enough here, Bill. Totally off topic, but would you give him a call at State?
Sure. Absolutely, I would.
Like, I'm just –
He really Starkville's turned. Samford had really struggled. He got them much better, and yeah, I think so.
Starkville's not that far away from Birmingham. Like, he's probably recruited Mississippi players and Alabama players at UAB, and he's an excellent. You know, knows what he's stepping into in the SEC. I don't know. Like, I mean, State's got a shocking opening. I'm sure there are names that are out there on the various hot boards. I thought I'd throw that one out there. How about Casey Dunn?
Yeah, I mean, they could do a whole lot worse. I've seen a list of a couple of three or four names. Casey wasn't on there. One that was obviously is Butch Thompson. They've come after Mississippi State's come after Butch twice, mm-hmm. but now Butch has the newly improved and remodeled Plainsman Park and a darn good looking group of young players. On this roster, so I don't blame them for coming after him. They love him there in Starkville, but I think Butch knows that they love him here too.
Yeah, to me, if you're Mississippi State and you're going to try to poach Butch, the pitch would be you need the NIL settlement to pass. You need a house versus NCAA. You need the judge.
Yeah, we're going to spend more than wherever you.
I just read Brandon Marcello, who's very plugged in, talking about this stuff, and he said there's too much riding on this thing for it to fail.
Yep.
Like the NCAA and the folks trying to get this thing passed will do what the judge says. Right now, the big mm-hmm. hang up is roster limits costing current people their roster spots.
Right now, I think right now schools are willing to say, okay, anybody who wants to stay can stay on scholarship.
Yeah, grandfathering in right. athletes until their eligibility expires, just so they don't have to be caught up in, you know, just so people don't have to lose their current roster spots, because that was not the intention of the settlement. But anyways, you need that to pass, and then just like you were saying, Bill. Then if you're State, you need to be able to demonstrate, hey, baseball is going to get a bigger share mm-hmm. of the NIL pie
here yes.
than anywhere else in the – like we want to become the Kentucky basketball of baseball in the SEC, and with so many people trying to prioritize football and men's basketball, like we think we can do it. Shot in the dark, and you're still – you know, Butch is – I'll tell you what's probably working against anybody trying to take Butch Thompson away, Bill, is how young this team is, right? Like the relative youth of this.
Oh yes,
Auburn team.
It's, look at the, I mean, and there are quite a few other freshmen pitchers, especially that you haven't seen that remarkable development, but you've seen some flashes from some of the freshman pitchers. But my goodness, with Chris Rembert, Bub Terrell, and I'm blanking, Chase Frelick. If those three guys aren't all,
yeah,
all SEC freshmen,
yes,
I will be stunned, because they have been regulars from the outset, and they're all having outstanding years.
And if this was a senior laden group, and it felt like, all right, it's the last dance, you know, whatever, you know, it's a total rebuild starting next year, maybe it would be easier to potentially poach Butch away as a coach. But I don't know. I think that he's if both sides want to continue his continued Auburn employment, right? Like, yeah. I think it's going to be tough for another school in the league, even one with the ties that State has to Butch. I just think it's going to be it's going to be a tough one to prime away.
All right, we're just underway. Yes, we'll check in with Andy Burcham. See if he can spend a little time with us around the bottom of the hour. But until then, We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We're right back. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. We'll call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. 334-321-1390. Love for you to join us.
A busy day as far as local news. And I would update
me.
Well, I mean, there's a kangaroo.
On the loose. I thought you were talking sports news.
There's not really much local news, you know, on the sports front. There's a kangaroo, and there's also I think the gas leak got mostly settled, but most folks around here got an alert.
Oh, is that
too,
what was going on downtown?
Yeah, there was an alert.
See, I didn't see that. Again, I've been over helping. I went to come my normal way. That put me behind a little bit because I come down Gay.
Yeah,
and
Thatch.
It's like, oh, what's going on?
Thatch and Gay.
Turn on Thatch. Yes.
Thatch and Gay, Chihuahua area had a gas leak, and they were urging people to avoid the area. I think they've got that.
They are amazingly good. Hey, let me again. I am so impressed with Spire. I don't know if I talked about this on the air. We had a gas leak at the house Friday before last, and I stepped outside. A couple of weeks ago, we'd seen some evidence that there were some kind of rodents around. So I put out a bait that's not a trap. It's the kind of bait where they eat it, then they generally go off and die. And so I'd stepped out on the porch and I smelled something and I thought, oh, we got one. And then went back out Friday week ago and I thought, I smell that. And then I took a deeper breath and went, that smells like gas. And it was after I'd gotten home from the show Friday, you know, not this past Friday, but the one before. And I told my wife, I said, you reckon I should call them on a Friday night? And it's like, well, maybe they can be here Monday if there's something. I called at 6:30. Guy was at the house in 15 minutes. Yep. Because if you call and say you smell gas, they got there. He said, oh, yes, this is a grade one leak. Right where it was coming into the meter, he went to try to tighten it, and it just broke off in his hand. And, I mean, there was gas coming out. And I'm telling you, the crew got there in a little while. The crew had to come from Phoenix City. But, I mean, he was able to get it stopped, get the leak stopped. And then they came and they replaced the meter, the curved piece that's underground, had to dig up, a good bit. But they did a great job. There were plants. It's right in a bed of plants by the side of our house, and they dug up the plants as carefully as they could, set them aside, and then dug and trenched and got everything.
These are
all our plants. Okay. And a little pathway that I had done with pebbles and rock and all that stuff, and they moved all that, and you can't even tell now, except the plants don't look as good. But they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll.
But I mean, no, they were there. They were there until 11:30.
Wow.
Friday night, and got everything done and cleaned up and left. So, hats off to the folks at Spire. If you ever do think you smell gas, like they were telling me, don't wait. You know, go ahead and call, because my goodness, I mean, the guy said, yeah, as bad as it was, if there had been a spark anywhere around that, We would have all been blown up.
Wow.
So the other thing that was extremely fortunate for us, it was before it came into the meter. So it was their responsibility.
Yeah. Glad that worked out for him. Saw that. And we just sort of glossed over it. But, yeah, apparently a kangaroo was on the loose causing traffic issues.
I went, are you serious?
Yeah.
Where is this? And it's like, here?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, apparently. You know, running down the, and I've seen some wild stuff commuting. I have on never 85.
Never seen a kangaroo hopping around town.
Yeah, kangaroo just bopping his or her way down the interstate. But yeah, the clips on the internet, and it's just I guess now can you? He's raised a lot of questions, doesn't it? About can you have that as a pet?
Don't think so.
You can't. Yeah, and maybe I don't know. But
people think of kangaroos as just see cartoons about them or things like that, and you think, oh, that'd be something I could probably have as a pet. No.
And the danger.
There are people that think they can have, you know, lions and tigers.
No, but you know, the kangaroos will get you. What the punches are no joke.
No,
it's the blade on the end of the foot though, right? The claw they got there that because the kick can be
lethal.
Some serious business there. The tail can do some damage too. They know how to whip that thing. But anyways, so be on the be on the lookout, I guess, for the
what happened
marsupial.
I mean,
alert.
You know, I've always wondered about this. I mean, how you think of, you know, whatever you think of evolution,
how the kangaroo got here.
Something different happened down under.
Sure,
down there in Australia and New Zealand and in those areas, there are different. There are just completely different types of animals.
Well, the marsupial family, this is a sports show, so I don't want to, like, you know, but like the thought,
yeah,
you know,
it's slow day.
Well, no, but then, but mammals that lay eggs, right? You know, some of them got the pouches, you know, the duck-billed platypus, you know, in the family. Like, I mean, that's fascinating.
The duck-billed platypus looks like a science experiment going on.
Yeah, exactly. and yet, you know, thousands of years. But so it's, yeah, you're right. You're right to wonder sort of what's going on with that whole classification of animals.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And John is up first. Hey, John.
John, we usually wouldn't talk about this stuff, but there is a kangaroo on the loose, right? So it feels topical.
That is the reason I'm calling. I think it's Cecil Star. One of the stars has a little zoo somewhere in the Cox Road area. And my old cleanup guy actually used to be caregiver for those things. He has giraffes and kangaroos and I don't know what all he has out there, but he has a bunch. I think there's a zebra or two out there. It started off to be a private thing, but it's open for public. All the schools go out there now for field trips, and I think they do like a hayride in the fall with a pumpkin patch. But it's the name of one of those old Indian creeks. I don't know what it's called, but it sounds kind of like Eufaula, but it's not Chawala or something. But yeah, that's right up there in that area, so I'm sure that's where it came from.
Yeah, because it was down 85, and caused a crash. I guess it wouldn't cause a crash. If I'm driving up and down the interstate and I see a kangaroo, I probably am going to look at that for a, you know, longer than I should.
I saw they had all four lanes of traffic stopped.
That's right, they did.
And they had it. I was watching Sheriff Brunson from Macon County, and he said they hit it with a tranquilizer gun and just wait for it to fall asleep so they could get it.
That's a smart move.
And luckily, no one was hurt in the crash, and so it's still something of a laughing matter, even if it is a wild animal out there. I still think of that as Coach Dye's, like, stomping grounds up there, couple miles down wire way. But you're right. That's some solid detective work, John, as far as assuming that's probably where. Not that far to the interstate from there.
I called Mr. Brown because I know he worked out there for a couple of years. And I said, Ben, did you have a kangaroo out there? He said, oh, yeah, we had a couple of kangaroos. So I'm sure that's where it came from.
One fewer if they check the inventory today. But
well, anyway, according to Sheriff Brunson, they notified who owned it, and he was coming to retrieve it. So.
That's good. Good to have it back home.
All right, guys. War Eagle, and once again, thanks to the Skybar for paying for these things. I appreciate them.
Absolutely. All right, John, great hearing from you.
All
334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. See if we can check in with the voice of the Tigers. See if they are there at the Hoover Met. Of course, if they were still en route, it's hard for me to think that he's already gotten there and done Butch's pregame. But we'll check with Andy. Hopefully we'll have him on at some point. We will let you know when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And again, we're trying to see if we can get a little time with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, before Auburn takes on Samford tonight up at the Hoover Met. The Tigers coming off a weekend series win this past weekend at home against Mississippi State, who then fired Chris Lemonis. And, there have been a few lists of names for the Mississippi State job. Again, I feel like Butch Davis is Butch Thompson is definitely at the top of their list.
Lemonis, the only national championship winning coach in Mississippi State history.
That is like correct.
That team, that baseball team, a couple years ago, the only team sport
finishes averaging just under 40 wins a year.
Yeah.
For his 6+ years.
But that's a school, that's a program that takes baseball success very seriously, and they obviously thought that it was time to make a change.
Oh yeah, let's see. Jason mentioned a few guys. Let me see if I can find the guys that he had mentioned.
These are possible candidates at State.
All right. Yes, Jason Caldwell, who we'll have on with us tomorrow, said he would think Cliff Godwin from Eastern Carolina,
okay,
Nick Mangione from Kentucky, and Will Davis from Lamar could be some names to keep an eye out for. So
highly successful mid-major rank would probably be a smart move. I'll tell you what, would you I mentioned Casey earlier. Skylar Mead's doing a lot of winning at Troy.
Yes, he is.
I wonder if that would be a tempting
think so.
There are two non-SEC coaches in the state that are winning a lot.
And they have beaten Power Five and SEC schools.
Yeah, and they're.
I mean, that's something that's very important. I mean, they have taken on tougher competition and been able to go out there and beat them.
And they're recruiting the region, right? Like, they're recruiting the same kind of guys that State. I don't know how often State goes into Alabama.
They used to. Boy, they used to come into Alabama and take, you know, before Auburn and Alabama had put as much emphasis in baseball, you'd see quite a few times the top players in the state of Alabama headed to Starkville back in the Ron Polk days, for sure.
And when baseball becoming a full scholarship sport and with the possibility of the settlement sort of, you know, making it more pronounced as far as who wants to prioritize baseball and go for the best players and who wants to dedicate those resources elsewhere. Yeah, I think State's got something of an opportunity to flex their muscles and show. Yeah, we do want to be a power in baseball, and there are a couple of not knowing exactly what they're looking for, and there are a lot of good baseball coaches out there, but there are two in the state coaching mid majors, coaching non-SEC programs, Casey Dunn and Skylar Mead, who have both done a lot of winning and would be. Would seemingly well prepared for the SEC if they got a shot.
And it would be and I know it would hurt both of those schools to have those guys leave, but it'd be tough to turn down an SEC head coaching offer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think State, you know, that's and a place that's recently won a championship, at a place that is very proud of its baseball facilities and compares them to just about anyone's in the sport. I think that's a place that I mean, isn't part of the reason why Lemonis lost his job because they expect better?
Yes. Like
that's the, you know, the, there's the belief that they...
After they won the title, I mean, they've sort of slipped a little bit. They didn't make the tournament, I think, the next 2 years after they won the champion. Didn't even make the SEC tournament.
Didn't they have to watch Ole Miss win a championship, too, in that time period?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's among different SEC teams going all the way. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll check in with Andy Burcham again here in just a few minutes. We tried him around the bottom of the hour, and he was probably still doing the Butch Thompson pregame.
No buzz as far as personnel moves in baseball or in basketball or men's basketball or football.
Have not seen anything. No. I mean, we did, and I'm interested in the Matthew Caldwell visit to Auburn yesterday, because I think a lot of folks felt, well, if he is definitely visiting, then this should be another addition to the Auburn football team. But have not seen anything today about that.
Yeah, curious to see what sort of Matthew Caldwell wants out of the rest of his college football career. We talked about it yesterday. You know, if he wants somewhere where he's got a clear path to playing time, that's one thing. He played some at Troy last year. Maybe it's about contributing veteran leadership, you know, to a room without necessarily, being the first or even the second guy up in that room. We'll see, but that's certainly a name that's been kicked around.
All right, I tell you what we'll do. We're going to get to break early so that we'll have a few minutes with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. So stick with us. We're right back here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive 7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. We're going to head to the Drive hotline. Welcome in our regular Tuesday afternoon guest, and that is the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Bill. Hope you are as well.
Well, I'm doing okay, although I'm a little drowsy. I helped out. I just stopped by to see the younger granddaughter and ended up building something there, but I had to take some Benadryl because they have cats. So,
oh dear,
it's I feel fine. I just if I nod off while we're talking, that's it's not because I'm bored.
Okay.
No, I'm feeling fine. Beautiful day for baseball, isn't it?
It is, and it's going to be a beautiful night here at the Hoover Met for Auburn and Samford tonight. Supposed to be in the 60s by the time this ball game's over tonight. Beautiful. Sunny. Of course, we said that a couple years ago before the game, and it rained us out during the game. But I think we're okay. I think we're okay tonight.
Yeah, and it's great. I know that Butch always likes to have at least a game there at the Met before the SEC tournament. And this one, lining up that, I mean, Auburn's going to be in the SEC tournament. Hopefully they're not having to play on the first day, but good to be able to get there and get everybody, familiar with the field and everything.
Well, and for a lot of the guys that play every day for Auburn, this will be their first time at the Hoover Met. Auburn plays so many freshmen and sophomores that have never played here other than perhaps the game against Samford last year. So, yes, and everybody goes to the SEC tournament this year. So it's a good idea to come up here and play. It's also a good opportunity to get, Auburn folks will come out. This will be a big crowd for Auburn here tonight. And good to see some of the improvements, Bill, at this ballpark. They have added chair back seats down below us, the lower level all the way out beyond the first and third base lines, which was not here a year ago. They're adding some premium level seating down the third base line. It looks like they're adding out beyond the right field, right center field wall, some standing room only areas, and some bleacher seats out there. So
some improvements being made to the Hoover Met as well.
Andy, we were talking about the young nucleus of talent around this Auburn team this year. Chris Rembert earning Player of the Week after the series that Auburn takes from State. What can you say about the addition of Rembert to this year's team?
Well, let's talk about three of them, all right? Because they're all in the lineup tonight. Chris Rembert and Chase Frelick and Bub Terrell. And if you take those guys, we were talking about this on the drive up. You take those guys out of the lineup, and your batting average drops 10 points. And at this time of the year, that's a lot.
Yeah, no question.
Say about three freshmen that are playing at the level that Terrell and Frelick and certainly Rembert are, and then add a Guevara to the lineup that really didn't play much last year as a true freshman, and then you've got guys like Snow that have come in and are playing so well for you. So there's a lot of newcomers that are here and that are playing so well that you're counting on at this time of the year. But let's look back. I mean, this is as good a freshman class as Auburn's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
One, because it didn't lose any of these guys to the draft. They're all here. They're all playing. And they're playing at a very, very high level as true freshmen, and they're important cogs to the wheel of this Auburn team right now. So while it does sound like, you know, you take those guys out of lineup, you lose 10 points off your batting average, these are three really good players that are playing every day for this Auburn ball club as well. Add Kate Blue to that mix. I mean, these are all freshman sophomores that we're talking about right now.
And they're guys that are also playing very well in the field defensively. It's not just the bats. I mean, that's the first thing you notice is their outstanding offensive numbers. But, man, they're really playing well defensively, all of these guys. I said a while ago, Andy, I would be shocked, or maybe not shocked, I'll be disappointed if all three of the freshmen aren't all SEC freshmen.
Well, they should be. I'll be disappointed as well, but I've been disappointed in postseason awards in the Southeastern Conference in the past. But even if not, we know the value that this team, to this team and to the future of this ball club. And I think there's some freshman All-American out there as well, Bill. I thought let's take it behind the SEC. I think there's one or two SEC or freshman All-American playing for this Auburn ball club right now, too.
We got to move around a couple of different sports because we're wrapping up hour number one here on the drive, Andy. But baseball tonight, Wings 94.3, folks, do not want to miss it. You guys will have the call there from Hoover. Want to touch on men's basketball briefly because since the last time we talked to you, we knew Chad was in the portal, but we get the announcement yesterday that Chad Baker-Mazzara is going to play at USC next year. And just sort of your memories of his 2 years at Auburn, because you know I think the word we landed on was it was an adventure with Chad out there, but he was also part of some of the greatest highs in the history of that program. As someone who saw every second of his career, I'd love your perspective on it.
I wish him nothing but the best at USC. And I will miss him. I will miss his personality. A year ago, we were at Ole Miss, and he was on our pregame show, and I asked him about did he speak Spanish during games, and he said at times that's his native tongue, and so he does. And he said he was surprised one time when he was speaking Spanish when one of the officials answered him. So I thought that was pretty funny. But a guy that could be absolutely spectacular and do things that you're just amazed at. And then a guy that when things got away from him and he was, kicked out of two ball games, Auburn lost those two ball games, close ball games, big ball games for Auburn. And then we saw everything from he in between, Chad in between that disappointment and then just spectacular play. He's part of an SEC tournament championship. He's part of an SEC regular season championship. He's part of a Final Four. So he goes down in the history of Auburn basketball on two fabulous basketball teams at Auburn. He will be missed at Auburn, and I wish him nothing but the best in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I think Bruce and his staff have done an amazing job of restocking the roster. I mean, boy, they've gone all over, and they've gotten length at the guard position. They've gotten depth at just about every position. I would guess that one thing that they're looking for is just one more big.
Well, Bruce was with us last Tuesday night. He joined us on the broadcast last Tuesday night for the third inning, top and bottom of the inning, and that's the one thing he said when we talked about the portal was that they're looking for one more big. Now, who that is, I don't know at this point. What that role is, are they looking for a starter? Are they looking for a Dylan Cardwell, a guy that can play fabulous defensively and give you those tough minutes? Are they looking for a guy that is a stud for you at both ends of the floor? I'm not sure if that guy is still out there. Are they looking at the Division II level? I don't know at this point. But that's the one area that he talked about that they're still looking at. And if I know this staff and this head coach, they're going to find that guy. They're going to find that guy to be a part of Auburn's 25-2016.
And speaking of Los Angeles, not only is Chad Baker-Mazzara transferring there to play for USC, but the first two players taken in the draft this weekend from Auburn will continue their careers in Los Angeles. Jarquez Hunter, drafted by the Rams by an Auburn graduate general manager as the first Auburn player off the board. And then Keandre Lambert-Smith ends up with a very good quarterback and a very good coach with the Chargers in Herbert and Harbaugh. Jalen McLeod also drafted by the Jaguars as the third of three Auburn players taken in the draft this weekend. But your thoughts on the newest NFL players from Auburn?
I think this, and I'm happy for all three of those guys, and for Jarquez with the Rams, for Keandre with the Chargers. And also the Jags. I don't think they'll be the only guys that will make rosters. Auburn signed, or a ton of Auburn guys signed free agent contracts, and I think a couple of those guys are going to be, you know, either playing on Sundays or at least on practice squads and given opportunities in the future. So happy for those three that were drafted. I think there will be some others that will make their mark in the training camps coming up, but certainly happy for those guys that got their name called on a very eventful 3 days up in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, we were saying yesterday, if anybody had said Auburn's going to have a guy go in the same round as Shadur, you would have thought, wow, they're going to have somebody before day three. But that is crazy. But, hey, Andy, there will be not a very bold prediction. There will be more Auburn players drafted in early rounds next year than we've seen in a while.
No question. Yeah, and listen, I mean, it's what Hugh Freeze has said all along. Give me three classes. Give me three classes to build, and I think we'll see the fruits of that labor for those guys moving on after the 25 season coming up. I agree with you, Bill. I think we'll see more Auburn players taken, and I think we'll see Auburn players taken perhaps and certainly on the first 2 days of the draft. More taken on the first 2 days than we've seen in years past.
Back to baseball, Andy. We've got a couple of minutes. A big series win this past week over Mississippi State, including that football-looking score on Sunday. But, boy, it was good to see the bats warming back up.
Well, it had been four games for Auburn since they'd done anything offensively. They didn't do it at Texas. As a matter of fact, it was just the Ike Irish show at Texas, and that wasn't enough. And then they won a game last Tuesday against Georgia Tech 1-0, in which the game-winning run scored on a bases-loaded walk. And if not for an outstanding pitching outing by Christian Chatterton and others, and you hold Georgia Tech and you shut out Georgia Tech on two base hits, Auburn's first 1-0 win since a win against Mercer back in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it was great to see the bats open up this past weekend. Let's hope it continues. They're going to need it. They'll need it tonight against Samford. They're certainly going to need it this weekend when you go to Tennessee. That's a top five battle this weekend in Knoxville, Tennessee. So get ready for Auburn at Lindsey Nelson Stadium this weekend at Tennessee.
Yeah, and Tennessee two games ahead in the SEC standings, and Auburn looking to move up. You want to finish, if possible, in the top eight. You'd love to be in the top four, but get a bye on day one of the SEC tournament where all 16 teams are going, as you said, and it's going to be single elimination. I love those changes.
I do too, Bill. It's going to be interesting to see how fans react to that. I think that the big concern is the big, huge crowds you've had in the past. How does that affect them? I think it's still going to be the same number of games as we've seen in the past. I don't think it will affect the crowds as much as some fear at this point. But and I don't think the coaches, it bothers them at all. I think they perhaps can conserve some pitching when they're not having to play in the double elimination format. Hopefully these teams have basically wrapped up NCAA tournament bids when they get here, although there will be some that will be trying to play their way in or trying to play their way into a host site or just improve their seed coming up in the NCAA tournament. And as you mentioned, I mean, Auburn is two games out of fourth place in the SEC right now. Two games. Two out of a fourth place finish in the SEC, and that's a double bye in the upcoming SEC tournament. Yeah. So Auburn is playing for that. Auburn right now, I think, without saying anything about it, they're looking at postseason right now. They're looking. That's why this ball game is even more important tonight against Stanford, because a win tonight and you help yourself not only with regard to the NCAA tournament, but hosting in the NCAA tournament as well. Now, you've got to finish strong for your last three series coming up. Tennessee at home against South Carolina and Ole Miss, but that's in front of you right now. And a year ago at this point, there was no shot at that. So what this team has done in a year to be in this position, I think Auburn fans should be very, very excited. And judging by the crowds, a record crowd of over 141,000 at Plainsman Park already this year, I think Auburn fans have responded to this ball club as well.
Great stuff, Andy. We are completely out of time. Thanks a lot, man. Best of luck tonight.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one. War Eagle.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware. At University Ace, we...
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another nice-looking Tuesday. I think the Benadryl is starting to wear off
there
a little
bit.
I feel a little more awake than I did earlier. So yeah, just another hour to go here on this Tuesday. Love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Hour number one of the show, you can catch that on the podcast when it goes up in about an hour. But hour number one featured Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Also, we talked about the kangaroo. That was the future of kangaroo, and a little bit of
hopping down along the interstate.
Yeah, but I thought it was nice to catch up with Andy about a couple different topics there. The baseball team and their recent success. Some of the football players moving on to the NFL draft. Even talked about Chad Baker-Mazzara a little bit with our buddy Andy.
Yeah, so hope you had a chance to hear that. If you miss any part of the drive, check out the podcast.
That's right. And Andy, tonight, Wings 94.3. You can catch Andy Burcham.
Yeah, just a little while, as a matter of fact, the pregame.
Shortly, they will be going live with pregame for Auburn and Samford tonight in Hoover.
That is right, as Auburn looks for win number 31. You want to now get as close to 40 as you can. Auburn 30-14 with 11 games remaining. Seven on the road, including tonight, because Auburn's got two road series and then one more home conference series and a midweek matchup against Jack State 2 weeks from tonight.
Another, and I'd say this is probably at least the third time this year, right, when you talk about Auburn playing Tennessee, like third time this year where Auburn's going on the road and playing a series against a team that has real national championship bona fides, right? And you talked about Auburn when they went to Georgia. Georgia was one of the two or three best teams in the country in most polls. Texas was pretty much everybody's number
Texas
one.
Texas is the best team in the SEC.
And remains most folks' number one in the not just in the SEC, but in the country. And now Auburn's going to Tennessee, reigning national champion, top five team, and another chance to show you can play with the very best in college baseball, and Auburn is pretty. You know, they're in that conversation themselves.
Auburn is a top 10 team by just about every poll, and they swept. You know, they've been swept by two national championship contenders, and they swept a national championship contender at LSU. LSU is tied for second in the SEC. They're 14-7. Three of those losses came at Auburn. Yeah. Three of their seven losses came at Auburn.
LSU's overall record is crazy too, right? I think LSU only has, you know, seven or eight.
LSU's 36-9.
36-9.
Arkansas's 37-9. Tennessee's 35-9.
So LSU's 36-6 when they're not playing 36 Auburn. 36-6
and 14-4 14 in the SEC. 4, yeah. away from Auburn.
When you take the Auburn sweep away, you're right. So Auburn's had a couple of opportunities. The LSU series, I didn't mention the LSU series because it was at home.
Right.
I think Auburn's going on the road and playing Georgia and Texas. Hopefully, the series this weekend goes better than the Georgia and Texas series did. But even one win against Tennessee. Right is a
you just don't want to get swept on the road
is a needle mover. Yeah.
Now what's been interesting is when Auburn has won a game in a conference series, they have won the series because they have won five series. They took two out of three in four series, swept LSU, but then they've been swept. Their only two conference series they haven't won, they haven't won a game.
Right, and they
a game, they feel like they've. You know, they've got a shot to win the series.
And the Friday game, or I guess the Thursday game, because the Texas series was Easter weekend, but like the opening game of both of those series felt like they were trending towards Auburn, right? And then it slips away. So Auburn, if they can, you know, and I think that bodes well for the postseason, right? The idea that you've got a Friday starter that gives you a chance to beat just about anybody and. You know, the bullpen's a work in progress, but getting better as the season goes on. If the we talked about it with Derek yesterday. We've talked about it with Andy in the past that if this lineup continues to improve in different spots, Auburn could be. I mean, Butch has had a team go all the way to Omaha before. But this team has a lot of the credentials of a team that can make a lot of noise in the postseason.
Yeah, they really do. So this should be a fun one tonight. Again, they're playing at the Hoover Met side of the SEC tournament, which is coming up in just a few weeks.
So much of it's Dutton too. Just the idea that
is.
You have the idea that you have stability with that Friday night starter, and that you're not like that was one of the problems last year is that when you're not getting those kind of performances and you're going to the bullpen early on Friday, it throws off everything because now you've got more innings. You know those guys have already been some of those guys have already been used when they appear for the appear on Saturday or on Sunday, and it just like the whole thing like you felt like you're immediately behind schedule or you're immediately on the treadmill. You know, trying to catch up, and that hasn't been the case with the way Dutton has delivered on Friday. Or in
no,
the opening
great.
Game.
If you can, I mean, and in most cases, that's been what Auburn, Auburn's been able to get that Friday night win. When you do that, that takes so much pressure off your team. You just feel like, hey, we go out and we split the last two. We're going to win the series. And it has been great. So
and the pressure. The pressure on the bullpen.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
When you don't have a Dutton and when you're having to go to the bullpen early on Friday, then you're. Like it makes it tougher on Saturday and Sunday to go back to those guys.
Yeah, and let's see. I would guess we didn't get a chance to ask Andy because we ran out of time. I would guess Christian Chatterton. Yes, indeed, he is the starter for the Tigers tonight. 2-1 with a 4.58, but boy, he has been pitching well here in these midweek games. He's got a WHIP of 1.18. Let's see, anything different with the lineup. Auburn shuffled it around a little bit again. Chris Rimbert will be back at leadoff. Cade Ballou is up to the number two spot. Ike Irish hitting third. Cooper McMurray, who had he had a big weekend as well, will be hitting cleanup. Eric Guevara batting fifth. Lucas Steele at DH sixth. Bub Terrell is batting seventh.
It's so
Chase Frelick eighth. What an unbelievable luxury to have your leading hitter hitting eight
hole,
Chase like, Fraley.
It's so behind Ike is so important because he's going to be on base so often. Mm-hmm. Like you need to be able to cash in on the opportunities when Ike is at first or better. And, I mean, with the way he's hit the ball lately and the way he's hit the ball in conference all year, like, you would think that if teams don't respect or fear the bat behind Ike in the lineup, it's, you know, it's going to be tempting to pitch around Ike, not give him too much to see. And I think if Coop is hitting, then you don't feel like,
yeah,
you don't feel like, oh, let's just put Ike
that's
on first.
Fine. That's just a chance at a two-run
exactly
bomb.
Yeah, you don't want to think like, okay, well, first base is open and you can just pitch around Ike and go to Coop. And that's I think that would be a really welcome continued development over the course of the season to see McMurray, because that dude can smash the ball.
Yeah, let's hope, you know, the Auburn bats can keep it going. I mean, they definitely have the potential to be able to do. You look at that lineup that I was just going down, and I think there's only one batting average under 290 in the starting lineup. Let's see. 324, 291, 338, 333, 290. No, Lucas Steele's at 255. Bub Terrell is 281, Frelick 340. So, I mean, and then Derek 253. But he hit the ball, I thought, extremely hard this past weekend as well. So, I mean, it's a dangerous lineup. Like I said, there aren't many lineups where you're going to see a bat like Chase Frelick in the eight hole. So, I mean, hopefully they keep it going tonight. Again, 5:45 is the pregame over on Wings, 6 o'clock or so first pitch from the Hoover Met. We'd love for you to join in. Don't forget, we've got Jake Crane joining us at the bottom of this hour. We'll get Jake's thoughts on, you know, now that the transfer portals are both closed, doesn't mean all the players have decided where they're going to go. Get his thoughts on that. Look back at the NFL draft and much more. We'd love for you to join in, though, here in hour number two of The Drive, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
I still, you know, I'm a little surprised, and I guess, I mean, Bruce knows his roster, but the thought that Auburn is, you know, if Tahad comes back, the thought that Auburn's mostly done in the backcourt's a little bit of a surprise, like we were saying, because it does seem like Tahad's the only. The most qualified of the point guard options, but Magwood is.
Well, you wonder who other besides Caden Magwood.
Yeah,
does Bruce feel like he could put out there to bring the ball up and handle the duties at the point? Obviously, he must feel like somebody's going to be able to do that.
Well, I think trying to add a player with the plan of playing him just a handful of minutes at point guard is easier said than done. If you had a larger role available in the backcourt, you know, and it were, I you know, if you hadn't signed Freeman or if you hadn't signed Overton, right? If it were a little bit less crowded, I think maybe going out and getting a wing who can play a couple of minutes at point guard would be a different sort of deal. But right now, yeah, I think it's a, you know, number one, Tahad returns. And then, you know, that's the plan. And then number two would be you have someone else in that backcourt who can handle the ball when Tahad isn't on the floor, even though the plan obviously would be Tahad plays the, you know, 30 plus minutes, you know, the vast majority of the time. But and yeah, Magwood would seemingly be the most qualified option out there. Bashir doesn't seem to be although Bashir can handle the ball, so they might try Bashir as well, but it seems like he's an off-ball guard.
Yeah, it does.
Freeman can, you know, Freeman's a do-it-all. I don't know what they, you know, if,
yeah,
if,
I wonder,
they, if they
I,
view.
I was wondering if he might just be a guy, sort of like Chad was this past year, that at times you look out there and he's at the top of the key.
Yeah.
He brings the ball up.
I mean, it's sort of a different skill set as far as, you know, what Bruce wants, you know, with the guy running the offense in his half court. So, yeah, I think that's That's one. I mean, on top of whatever they're going to do in the front court and who else they might add, yeah. What they plan to do beyond Tahad in the backcourt's an interesting one to me. And we'll talk to Jake about that, and we'll talk to Jake about Chad moving to USC as well. I you know, loved what Andy had to say about that. I think he's absolutely right. You know, it was turbulent at times, and that's not a joke about the plane ride from to the Houston game. It was turbulent at times with Chad, but he was also part of some of the great successes, some of the great moments in Auburn men's basketball history, and he's a huge part of the Final Four team this year. And so I would hope that regardless of what happens over this next season at USC, and I hope he has a great season for the Trojans. As hard as it is for me to say that, like it's as a UCLA guy, like I hope he does well there at USC. But
I think it's a lot easier for Auburn fans to have him be at USC.
Than in the conference?
Because you're not going to be facing him. At least it's not on the schedule. The only way you could face him would be in the postseason.
Sure, as opposed to if he had picked
Ole Miss,
Alabama, Arkansas, or Ole Miss. Yeah. If he'd stayed in the league and certainly picked one of the teams that plays Auburn a couple of times, then it would be a little bit different. But no, I would hope that eventually, and maybe soon, like I would hope that Chad can that his when the Final Four team is recognized, anniversary sort of deals,
he'll get a nice recognition.
Yeah, I would hope that and that'll probably because I'm under the impression, Bill, that there's been quite a bit of negativity directed towards Chad. Like not all, it hasn't all been negative, but like post since the announcement that he's going to the portal, right, and since yesterday, like it has not been overwhelming feelings of gratitude and appreciation from Auburn folks. And I think that by and large there is that feeling out there towards Chad and everybody else from this past year's men's basketball team. And it's going to take a while for those things to ultimately be at the forefront.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Phone lines are open. Come on in and join us. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with Jake Crane here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive, sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Dang it, we forgot to ask him again. He just went out the door as he was saying that. Who else he thinks he could play at the point? Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and we'll head to the Drive hotline. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Finally got some rain down here. I mean, it's been so dusty. I mean, we got about...
How dusty is it?
Probably not as dusty as your dog. But.
that's not bad. Anyway. That's not bad, Mitch. You knew that one. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to the show. this is pretty much, I guess, for Spectre, since he's a big NASCAR guy, and we just had Talladega this weekend. Today would be Dale Sr.'s 75th birthday.
Wow.
And, yeah, I know. I don't know if you guys, and I know Dan was probably a teenager when he passed away, but this date is kind of significant. And I mean, it's kind of weird. It's kind of spooky, but it's 4/29/51. And when Kevin Harvick got into the race car for Dale Sr., it was in Atlanta, and it was the fourth race. He had number 29 on his car. And he started in the fifth position at the beginning of the race and finished in the first position. So 4/29/51.
So he would be in 74 today then. This is 2025.
Yeah, he'd be 74. Okay. Did I say 75?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. But yeah. 4/29/51.
That's one of those amazing coincidences there.
Thought I'd throw that out there. That's for you, Spectre, because I love NASCAR just like you do. Well, not as much as I used to, back in the old days with, the Alabama gang and who was it? Cale Yarbrough and, all that crew back then and Jaws and everybody. But anyway, speaking of Butch Thompson, I know you guys are talking about Mississippi State might come look. What does he make per year?
You can look up the university's pay is public information, but that doesn't include anything, any of the appearances or things like that. The last time I saw it listed on campus, it was like his base salary, I think, was $500,000. But then there are other perks as far as appearances and things like that. And, you know, automobiles. But
yeah, some college baseball coaches, I know there are states where contracts can't be more than a certain length, too. I think Mississippi is one of those states where it's like you'll have a contract with the university, but then you also have your contract with
personal services.
Yeah, contract. Your personal appearances contract or whatever. And I think that's the number Butch was saying. I think the most recent contract extension reported was after the 2018 season, and he was making somewhere in the neighborhood of I think it was reported close to $1 million a year annually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he could possibly make more of that. Well,
yeah, I would think so.
Now what is Hugh Freeze and Bruce Pearl supposedly?
Ooh, they're in the Hugh is probably in the $6 to $8 million yeah. range. Bruce, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it reported, but I think Auburn's taking care of him.
So Butch is probably making $1-1.5 a year coaching baseball.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That may be a little more than that, but I think that's fair.
Okay. All right. Well, because, me personally, if I was Butch Thompson and I had that brand-new stadium, that young, Mississippi State would have to, make me, the highest-paid college baseball coach in the country to leave Auburn. That's just my opinion. I mean, because I hate moving, but, it's not like Butch would have to worry about it. He'd pay somebody to do that for him, easily. So, but just the situation he's got, I think he'd be best to –
I found a story from last year in the Tennessean, which said that just 3 or 4 years ago, there was only one coach in the SEC making over $1.5 million, but that had changed. Now for 2024, Tim Corbin at Vandy was making $1.95 million. Kevin O'Sullivan at Florida $1.75 million. Jay Johnson at LSU $1.65 million. Mike Bianco at Ole Miss, $1.63 million. Tony Vitello at Tennessee, $1.5 million. Jim Schlossnagel at who is now at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He was making $1.46 million at A&M. I guarantee he got a bump to go to Texas. Butch was making $1.275 million. Before the 2024 season.
I don't think that the way I was talking about it earlier, Mitch. I don't think the way Mississippi State lures Butch away is by promising him a huge increase in salary.
That money needs to go to the players.
Yeah, I think the way you lure Butch away is by convincing him that you will invest more of when the salary cap hits and we have $20.5 million to spend on all your student athletes. Convincing him that Mississippi State is prepared to invest more in their baseball roster than Auburn, because Auburn is in the business of signing 5-star football players and 5-star men's basketball players, and simply can't prioritize baseball with that restriction in place from the House settlement. I don't know if State's doing it, but that would be my pitch to Butch. His salary is, I'm sure it's important, but it's something of a wash there. I think that the more important thing would be, you can be far more competitive at State because we'll have hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars more to use to lure players than a place trying to win in football and men's basketball too.
Yeah, well, that totally makes sense. Just like you said, with the Big East schools that don't have big time football, they can put way more money into men's basketball. You prioritize what's your best, your best sport at your school, or what you want it to be. So,
yeah.
Anyway, guys, thanks. War Eagle.
Good hearing from you, Mitch. All right, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline.
And maybe I'm simplifying, oversimplifying the idea that, State can just, I don't know if they, you're not punting football, but I don't know.
If they decided that instead of $15 million, if they're going to be spending $20 million instead of $15 million, we'll spend $14 million. And there's an extra million for baseball. That's not chump change.
What's Kentucky going to do?
Yeah,
Kentucky instead
of spending the three that's expected, goes no, we're going to spend five.
Yeah, Arkansas.
Yeah,
right. There are a couple schools where it's just like I just don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to calculate.
They don't want
the same
that sport that they know their fan base is so entrenched with to slide. 334-321-1390. We'll get another call before we get to our bottom of the hour break, and Jimmy. Is next. Hey, Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
What's up, Bill and Dan?
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I always love to hear you guys. I just want to clarify something real quick so I don't say it in ignorance. But doesn't Mississippi have that whole thing, is if a player gets any kind of scholarship, whether it's academic, whether it's a third, they get a in-state tuition rate?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so now I'm playing devil's advocate here. So if I'm Butch Thompson, I'm not having to deal with trying to do here a little bit and here a little bit. I got players all on state scholarship. Excuse me, all on state
in-state tuition. Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong. That's a big deal.
Now, but that I believe that the scholarship rules will change with the House settlement too, because they're getting rid of partial scholarships and everyone on the instead of scholarship limits, there will be roster limits, but everyone on the roster will be on full scholarship.
Yes, can be. Yes,
that's yeah.
So that will help Auburn and Alabama.
Oh yeah, big time. Because Georgia and. They got that Hope scholarship.
Yeah, look at all the states around Alabama that do have, lotteries or some type of help. Yes.
I'm with you guys. I don't think it's a money thing. I think if you got to sell Butch that we're going to have a better product, we got more money to spend on players, and I don't know. I mean, Butch is pretty entrenched here, but I'm not going to tell you he wouldn't leave.
No, I mean, it'd be tough not to listen to what somebody has to say, but I think it would also be very tough to get him away.
I'm really interested, Jimmy, and it plays into a larger conversation, which is we have athletic departments right now. We have sports where they either have teams competing in both football and men's basketball at a high level right now, or that's what they want, right? The desire is for both the football team and the men's basketball team to compete for championships every year. It's going to be harder than ever if these rules pass and these things happen. Just it seems like you're going to have to make those difficult choices about where to dedicate these resources, and a place that cares about college baseball inordinately could have an opportunity to. To compete or build a better team.
I'm with you. I mean, it's just as sure as I always say, hey, this is going to be resolved. Or so, I don't know. I think if nothing is done, the house will fall in on itself at this point. Because you can't keep paying this and doing that. Like I say, you got to have some kind of organization. That's just my opinion. But I wanted to make sure about that whole Mississippi rule.
Right.
That do benefit at this point.
Yeah, but that one should be out the window. It should be a more even playing field after the new agreement.
All right. Listen, guys, y'all are wonderful. I just wanted to kind of get that clarification.
Good hearing from you, Jimmy.
Appreciate it, Jimmy.
Take care.
We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane joins us on the other side, so stick with us on the Tuesday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And we're going to head back to the drive hotline. Welcome in our regular Tuesday afternoon guest from Crane & Company. And that is Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how's it going?
Guys, it's going fantastic. As usual, appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time. We've had the confluence of so many different sports with the NFL draft the last few days, the transfer portals both closing, and we've actually been talking a good bit of college baseball here since Chris Lemonis was let go by Mississippi State, because you know that they would love to bring Butch Thompson back to Starkville.
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to pretend to know exactly everything that Coach Thompson's going to do, but, you know, you look at what he's cemented here in Auburn, you look at what he's, you know, built, and really, you know, the way they've bounced back this year, guys, coming off a tough year last year in a league that's just an absolute, I mean, you know, we talk about it in college football, we talked about it a lot in college basketball this year, but the SEC in baseball, those three-game series, it's just an absolute gauntlet when you get into conference play. Nothing would shock me nowadays, but I do think Butch Thompson's more of an Auburn man and gotten more equity at this point than anything that happened at Mississippi State. So I'm just excited to see what this team can do if they can, you know, keep having guys past just Dutton in that starting rotation, Fisher, the rest of them out there, be able to give quality innings, because, man, they can hit the baseball.
And it is a loaded SEC. I think we're just saying that in every sport now, Jake, aren't we? Where it's just like, yeah, wow, you've got a handful of the best teams in the country in the SEC. We were talking about it earlier. Auburn goes to Tennessee this weekend, which would be a daunting, like that'd be a season defining road trip for a lot of teams based on how good Tennessee is. But Auburn's already gone to Georgia, and Auburn's already gone to Texas, and Auburn hosted LSU, right? So it's yet another series against a team that might win the national championship this year.
For sure. And I mean, yeah, look, regardless of what happens this weekend against Tennessee, and we all know how talented they are, and you know, the team that Tony's put together over there consistently is just an absolute monster. But I mean, look, this, what can happen in the postseason, I'm very interested to see, you know, how the super regionals work out, who gets to host this, that, and the other. But, you know, again, it's the same thing in college basketball. I mean, these guys are so prepared. Once they get to postseason, I mean, you've played the best teams that you're going to play, and if you see them again, most of the time you've already seen them. Look, I wouldn't put anything past, you know, what Butch has been able to do. It's just, again, you know, the SEC guys, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy thing to say that at this point throughout this, you know, this last, you know, season for each of the three major sports, and nothing is easy, it may be just the easiest to play in this conference in football right now.
Right, no, I mean, and even in football, right? I mean, the thought of, like, you have a handful of, I mean, it's national championship contenders. And I guess, like, Jake, we, even before Texas and Oklahoma showed up, you had national championship contenders and you know, usually at least one in practically every sport coming out of the SEC, but it feels like the top 10 in almost every sport is clogged with SEC teams with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, it felt like it was pronounced this year, and I wonder if it's just going to be the case, like that's life in the SEC now with the addition of those two athletic departments.
Well, I mean, look, the SEC was already a 10, but when Texas and Oklahoma came in here, it just improved our personality even more. I mean, it's about as good as you're going to get. I mean, guys, let's make, you know, no bones about it. You look at the way the SEC is willing to spend money. Notice I said willing, because I don't think a lot of people realize the Big Ten has more money than the SEC. But at the end of the day, the SEC is willing to spend the most money on athletics, and that's why we continue to say with the Southeastern Conference, if they want to be the best at something, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And I mean, that goes not only for the major three sports. Look at softball, look at gymnastics. I mean, if the SEC wanted to be the best at Quidditch, they'd be better than Hogwarts within 3 years. It's just that's the way it rolls.
And speaking of the Big Ten, pivoting to basketball a little bit with the news yesterday that that Chad Baker-Mazzara is joining the Big Ten and the West Coast branch of the conference, the new startup they've got out west, USC. Eric Musselman recruited Chad when Musselman was at Arkansas and Chad was at Northwest Florida State when Chad eventually came to Auburn. Musselman looking to add some veteran talent to his team in year two, and Chad looking to make the most of his last year of college basketball. What do you think of the move by Chad Baker-Mazzara to go play in Los Angeles for his last year in the sport?
Well, here's what I'll say. Look, we live in a free country, and nothing is freer right now than the transfer portal in college athletics. And Chad Baker-Mazzara did a lot for Auburn, and you know, I'll always be appreciative of what he did. But and look, you can even take the contractual stuff, you know, out of it. I think the way that Chad Baker handled this transfer portal situation, to me, and this is my opinion alone, I think it's a joke. At the end of the day, I don't, you know, and again, I'm not claiming to be on the staff or know whether Bruce Pearl and them really deep down wanted him back or if this is the best for both worlds or whatever. But, you know, Bruce Pearl put up with a lot of stuff, and I think the Auburn fan base, as talented as Chad is, and he's a great player, nobody's denying that. But I thought Auburn showed an incredible amount of flexibility with this guy. And the fact that if he was wanted to come back and decided not to, you know, or played the game or whatever, again, you know, you're able to do it within the rules now. I thought it was really poor form because, you know, I don't think I got to sit here and remind everybody the downside to having Chad Baker-Mazzara, but there was a huge upside. I just thought that the way that Bruce, you know, did an incredible job coaching him and reining him in and the whole staff in general, it was just, I thought it was an unfortunate situation. But at the end of the day, 100 years from now, Auburn's still going to be Auburn.
And I wonder how badly Auburn, like internally, I wonder how badly they thought they needed Chad on next year's team, right? Like, or if it's something where it's a want versus a need, and obviously some other program feels like they need Chad more desperately. But with a new group of players. And with sort of, you know, it feels like a moment where Auburn is turning the page as a program just from all the guys that you had contributing last year to, you know, what could be, I mean, Tahad and a bunch of brand new players this year. I wonder, you know, how strong the desire was to bring Chad back within the Auburn program really was.
Yeah, and again, it's, you know, I'm just speculating on it. I don't have any, you know, concrete inside information of, you know, they definitely wanted him back and you know, he decided to go the other way. I just, again, you know, my gut tells me that I think there's a pretty decent chance that he would be wanted back. And
how badly you want somebody is a number, right, Jake? Like now in college basketball, it's like you want him back.
Yeah, right? I mean, Chad Baker-Mazzara is 30 years old. I mean, he's got more experience than you know most people that already have their PhD. So I think he obviously could have helped. You know, Auburn had kind of grown to him the way he grew to Auburn through the thick and thin. But again, you know, I just to me, as late as it was and the way it was handled, it's just my gut instinct tells me that there was some tomfoolery afoot. But again, that's just what I think. I may be right. I may be wrong. But listen, I'm not going to doubt Bruce Pearl. I've learned a lot of things. When my wife says I put something in the wrong drawer, I probably did it. And when it comes to college basketball, the way Bruce Pearl puts his roster together, I'm just going to believe that he knows what he's doing because he's taken Auburn to more Final Fours in the span of 6 years than we saw in the first 600.
Well, the roster appears to be just about complete. Bruce was on the baseball broadcast last Tuesday and said he's looking for one more impact player and he'd like it to be a big. I mean, that one, I guess it could be a 4 or a 5 because they've got some pieces that could go other way, but I guess they feel pretty settled with the backcourt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think – you want to talk about a guy to get excited about. The more I watch the way that Keyshawn Hall plays, it's like having a tight end that runs 4 or 5 and can block. Like he's a big guard. He can do multiple things. He can attack the basket. He can rebound. he bought out in the Big 12. That's all. You could have just wrote that down on a piece of paper and sent that to me, and I don't care about the rest of it. Because I know the SEC was the best conference in the country this year, but the Big 12 was pretty sporty as well. And then you look at what's around him with, you know, obviously Tahad, expecting him to come back and run the show. I tell you, a guy that I think is a little bit underrated that really fits what Auburn does is Overton from Texas Tech. Hmm. And you talk about a guy that knows how to win. He was at Drake a couple years ago. We know what they've done. And then went to Texas Tech. And really, Texas Tech should have beat Florida at the end of the day. That makes two of us with them and Auburn. But I really like the way this roster is constructed. You get Keyshawn Murphy down low. I think at this point, I wonder if you're just not trying to get best available between the four and five. I mean, speaking of Texas Tech, you know, I heard the Federico guy's name. I didn't just stutter on that. That's really his name. So I think at this point, it's probably just best available. But you look at this roster, and it looks pretty complete.
Glad you mentioned Overton, because that is it's a player where I think maybe his career stats would leave people to think that it's not a huge impact addition. But we've seen with I think he fits what Bruce Pearl wants his backcourt to do, and this is a guy who I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's playing a lot of minutes, especially if he can be trusted defensively to take on an outsized role. Because I mean, on top of the things Auburn has to replace from last year's team is the defense from Denver Jones, right? Like his ability to go be the lead perimeter defender, you know, and take it like almost like a shutdown corner. You know, where he's just going to be on the ball for an extended period of time. That's a unique skill, and I also found it really interesting, Jake, that Auburn landed Overton within hours of Chad going in the portal, right? When they seem like two guys that would be maybe in competition for minutes at the two and the three, and Auburn wasting no time and going and landing Overton that same day.
Yeah, well, I don't look at Overton as the guy to replace Denver Jones defensively. And let's not forget, Denver Jones wasn't the greatest defender of all time when he showed up at Auburn. That's what Auburn turned him into. So I think Bruce understands, and this staff understands, and Stephen Pearl does, how to get the most out of guys defensively. And you don't play at Auburn unless you play defense. You're not going to step on the court. At the end of the day.
You're not going to play at Texas Tech if you don't play defense either, right?
Or Drake.
Yep.
Or Drake. Look at where their coach is at now.
Exactly right.
But no, when you look at Overton, to me, I think he, and again, I've got a ton of respect for Chris Moore, but I think he's a better version of Chris Moore in that role. That's what I think he is. I think he's a really good defender. He's longer at that size, but I think he brings a little bit more to the table offensively, including shooting the three. He didn't shoot, you know, a ton of them, but you go and watch his tape, he's actually got a pretty smooth stroke. But I feel like he's like a better version of Chris Moore. As far as looking at defending out on the perimeter, you know, Tahad's going to have to continue at his size to become a great defender. And what I hope Tahad turns into on defense is a little bit of what Jared Harper turned into. Hey, I may not be the biggest, most physical guy, but I understand how to take those charges. I understand how to bait you into offensive fouls. I understand ways to be able to close you out as a little guy, or when you're driving to the basket, really sell the lean in and the push off. Guys, and I know the rules have changed, but let's not forget, the reason Jared Harper was a pretty good defender was because that man could draw more offensive fouls than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
Yeah, he was really good at that, no question about it. Want to get some quick thoughts from you on the NFL draft. I mean, Auburn had three players go, nobody before the fourth round. That shouldn't be the case anymore after this year. But I mean, obviously the Shadur was the big story there. But I mean, what was just a couple of overall thoughts about the NFL draft?
Yeah, well, you know, with the Shadur thing, I've just beat that horse to death over the last 5 days. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, we're going to see, and everybody has their opinion on that. But I will say overall, including the first round, and you guys may agree, you may disagree, and everybody out there as well, I felt like there were more winners this year in the NFL draft and less losers than any time I can remember, including teams that we typically make fun of. Like the Falcons, I thought the Falcons had a great draft.
Yeah,
I thought the Browns drafted really well. I mean, Dan, I thought the Giants drafted pretty well at the end of the day with some of the moves they made, not only in the beginning of the draft, but in the end.
Jake, how about the Jaguars? When was the last time you came away saying, "Hey, that was pretty good draft weekend for the Jacksonville"?
No, without a doubt. And Dan, I said I feel like they hit the grand slam of drafting in the first round, especially as a small market team. You know, you get a really good player, but also the optics of it. I mean, they're going to be more excited to watch the Jaguars play this year in Jacksonville than they've been in a while. I mean, how many Travis Hunter jerseys are they going to sell? I mean, I think he's going to be a bigger draw to the ticket than Trevor Lawrence until Trevor makes that next step. So as a small market team, I thought it was really smart. But as far as Auburn goes, look, you don't have to be John Madden or Sherlock Holmes to figure out that if you want to win national championships, a lot of times you got to have a lot of NFL players. And not only that, but some high level for early picks in the NFL draft, including up front. I think Auburn is getting back to that. But, I mean, you know, and congratulations to Jarquez and KLS and all those guys. But at the end of the day, Auburn's just getting lapped by the field in NFL draft picks, and that takes a little time to be able to change. And I'll tell you this much, I don't know a lot, but Keldrick Faulk's going to go pretty early, fellas.
Unless something just absolutely bizarre happens, you're absolutely right. Hey, great stuff as always, Jake. Let everybody know what you got coming up on Crane & Company.
Yeah, well, we had a great conversation with Tim Brando today. You can find it whether you listen to your shows, you watch them. Just go to Google. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N & Company. Talking a lot of SEC football the rest of the week. Got Andy Staples coming on from On3, going to talk some Auburn. And I tell you what, man, the more I hear from people I trust within the program about the way this roster is looking, especially up front, you know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Jackson Arnold's got to prove it. But at the end of the day, I think Auburn has put themselves in a position to really have a fighting chance to maybe do something special.
Auburn's going to be trendy over these next couple of months for sure, Jake. Right. Appreciate it. Yep. Great stuff.
All right, guys.
Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We need to get to our final break the afternoon.
We don't want to talk over the outro again.
No. That once is enough. All right, we'll be right back.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware.